The FBI's annual hate crime statistics report is out. We're talking about reported hate crimes across America and here in Wisconsin on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The new report documented 51 hate crime murders. It's the most recorded since the FBI started collecting this data in 1991. Have you been a victim of a hate crime? What did you do? Did you report it? What do you want to know about hate crime trends here in Wisconsin? We're at 800-642-1234. Josh Call is Attorney General of Wisconsin. Attorney General Call, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me back on the program, Kate.
Well, explain for us what is defined as a hate crime under law.
It varies from state to state and between federal law and state law. In Wisconsin, hate crimes are crimes that are committed based on a person's certain characteristics, whether it's race or religion or gender. And in Wisconsin, it's not a separate crime. It's a penalty enhancer. So if you commit a crime based on one of those reasons, you're facing more severe penalties than you would otherwise. But the basic idea is if you're committing a crime against somebody based on one of their immutable characteristics, that's a hate crime.
How does the Wisconsin DOJ handle hate crimes? How are they investigated?
Generally speaking, most crime in Wisconsin of any kind is investigated by local law enforcement, by police departments or sheriff's offices, and prosecuted by DAs. And so typically that's the way that these crimes are investigated in Wisconsin. It's important to emphasize that if anybody witnesses a hate crime or they're a victim of a hate crime, they should contact local law enforcement. But I would also like to see a more coordinated statewide response. And so one of the things that I propose that we do is that our legislature pass legislation that would fund a hate crime hotline so that anybody who has information about hate crimes has a simple number that they can call to provide information and potentially to get referred to the best place to contact.
So a hotline, what do you think is the role of the, you know, Attorney General in preventing and prosecuting hate crimes? What is your role?
There are a few things I think are important for our State Department of Justice. As I mentioned, you know, most crime in Wisconsin is investigated and prosecuted at the local level. But first, making sure that law enforcement and prosecutors are aware of what those rules are and that hate crime enhancements are being charged where they can, I think, is critical. We oversee training of law enforcement officers around the state, and continuing to train on those laws is an important part of what we do. We also defend the convictions when there are appeals of convictions in Wisconsin, including any challenges to sentences. But continuing to reinforce the importance of investigating these crimes and charging them where they exist, I think is critical. And then again, I would like to see a hate crime hotline housed at the Wisconsin Department of Justice so that we can help coordinate that response from a statewide level.
Do you find that hate crime is being documented, that the numbers are accurate when it comes to hate crimes in Wisconsin?
It appears, and this I think is an issue across the country, that there's significant underreporting of hate crimes. There's also an issue with proof. So just because a hate crime is committed doesn't mean that when a crime is charged, that it's charged as a hate crime, because it's one thing to prove that a crime was committed, but then proving that it was committed based on somebody's race, based on somebody's religion, is not always easy based on the facts of the case. And so it can pose a challenge. And as a result of that, I think that the numbers that we see understate the amount of hate crime that's happening.
The FBI statistics on hate crime for 2019 came out last week. What were your top line takeaways from the report?
Well, first of all, it's concerning that there appears to be an increase in hate crime. I think that there are several things going on. One is, I think there is an increased understanding that hate crimes should be reported. And so I'm hopeful that we are seeing more reporting and that's part of what is reflected in the numbers. But it also seems to be clear that there is more hate crime going on as well. And, you know, there are a lot of things that can contribute to that, but there's no question that rhetoric that divides people from some of our top leaders, not only from the outgoing president, but from other elected officials as well, that divides people on the basis of race or religion or immigration status, that can foster a culture in which more hate crimes take place. You know, just a few days ago, we saw the Proud Boys displaying white supremacist symbols in Wauwatosa. And when leaders send a message that that kind of hatred is condoned, I think that does lead to more of these types of crimes.
According to the Southern Poverty Law Center, the number of white nationalist hate groups grew by 55% between 2017 and 2019. What do you see is an extension of hate crimes and white nationalism?
Well, groups that are centered around the idea of white supremacy and of divisions based on race, there's no surprise that when you have a rise in those groups, you're going to see a rise in hate crimes. What we need is for leaders to condemn these groups, to make clear that white supremacy and that hate groups are absolutely unacceptable. But what we have seen for much of the last 4 years is the opposite of that. We've seen a suggestion that those groups will be at least tolerated, if not even supported by people at the highest levels of government. And that needs to change. We need to make very clear that the ideology being espoused by these groups is hateful and it's unacceptable.
We're talking with Attorney General Josh Call as we look at hate crime statistics from the FBI. There were more hate crime killings in 2019 than any other year on record. Why do you think that is? What have you been a victim of in terms of a hate crime? Join in at 800-642-1234. Connor is joining us from Madison this morning. Hi, Connor.
Hi. So I have a question for Attorney Call. When you have instances of police brutality, you know, oftentimes local law enforcement isn't interested in investigating or prosecuting themselves. So, you know, your office might hear a call from somebody and they might say, well, we don't take referrals except local law enforcement. So what's maybe a better way of handling those types of instances?
Go ahead, Attorney General.
Thanks for that question, Connor. So when there are cases that involve law enforcement officers, those are cases in which the investigative process is handled differently from a typical case because of the reason that you're suggesting, which is there needs to be an avoidance of any sort of conflict in the investigation of those cases. So at the Wisconsin Department of Justice, we have a Division of Criminal Investigation, which investigates crimes of statewide importance, and that would include any kind of official misconduct, not just any sort of crime that could be committed by a law enforcement officer, but anybody else in an official position. And that is an area that we consider to be crimes of statewide importance. So our Division of Criminal Investigation investigates public integrity cases, and also our assistant AGs in some cases prosecute those cases. So if there are crimes being committed by official actors, in that case, there is the kind of conflict that Connor's talking about with potentially with local law enforcement. And so they're referring those cases to the Wisconsin Department of Justice is an appropriate response. You know, another thing to do would be to contact a different law enforcement agency. But making sure that we have effective responses to any official misconduct is critical.
Should it be mandatory for local police agencies to collect and report hate crime data?
Local law enforcement is required to provide a variety of data as part of our data collection process. And that's one of the areas where our Wisconsin Department of Justice, not only with hate crimes, but with a variety of other crimes as well, works to both oversee the collection of that data and then to publish that data and make it publicly available so people can look at it. And so data about a variety of different types of crimes, including hate crimes, is reported. And if people want to see that data, they can go to our website.
Have police agencies in Wisconsin reported that data to the FBI? Does that get involved? Does that number and that those statistics, are those reported then to the FBI for this overall U.S. data?
It's through the Department of Justice, yes. So the FBI data that you were mentioning early on in this segment, the way that the data collection process works is that local law enforcement agencies collect data, again, about a variety of different types of crime. They then provide that data to the Wisconsin Department of Justice. We gather that from law enforcement agencies around the state, make statewide data available, and we also provide that data to the federal authorities. And a similar process happens across the country. And so the data that we see from groups like the FBI is a accumulation of that data from states around the country.
What do the trends look like in Wisconsin when it comes to hate crime, when you look at our numbers?
The numbers are very low in Wisconsin, so it's tough to discern too much of a trend from that. But it is concerning to see, you know, that what appears to be an overall increase in hate crimes. Again, the numbers are so low that I don't think that they reflect the majority of hate crimes, let alone all of them. So I just looking at the numbers alone, I wouldn't draw conclusions from. But there's no question that we're seeing more of this hate crime activity around the country, and there's no reason to think that Wisconsin has been spared of that. And in fact, as I mentioned, you know, we just had the Proud Boys in Wisconsin displaying white supremacist symbols. So this is something that we need to make sure that law enforcement agencies around the state are responding to whenever there are any hate crimes that occur. And so I want to encourage anybody who's listening, if they witness a hate crime, and certainly if they're a victim of a hate crime, to report that to the appropriate authorities.
We got a pause there with Attorney General Josh Call. We'll be back in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Attorney General Josh Call about FBI hate crime statistics for 2019 and how hate-based attacks coincide with this rise of the white nationalist movement. We're talking about reported hate crimes across America and here in Wisconsin. Let's bring in Holly now from Burlington. Hi, Holly. What is your question?
Hi. I was wondering if the trend for local jurisdictions moving from UCR-based reporting to FBI-based reporting has had any increase in the hate crimes, or if those are unaffected.
UCR meaning Universal Crime Reporting, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Attorney General?
Well, first, thank you for that question, Holly. Holly is clearly an expert in data collection methods. One of the things that's happening is the way that we collect data from law enforcement agencies around the state is changing, and that's pursuant to federal guidelines. And so it's gone from categorical collection of data to what's called incident-based collection of data. So we're now collecting data based on specific incidents. And part of the idea behind that is to get more precise and more accurate information that's at the incident level, so there's more consistency in the way that crimes are categorized. I think it's too early to tell exactly what the impact of that's going to be on some of these data categories, because that process is just happening now. And so, but I do think it helps us better understand what exactly is happening with these different types of crime.
Would one method be more comprehensive than the other?
The incident-based reporting, which is what is being shifted to, is more comprehensive. It's
okay.
More precise because we're getting more fine-grained data. But it may be that we see that there's a difference in the numbers overall under the prior reporting system versus the new one.
We're talking with Attorney General Josh Call about hate crime reporting and statistics. Let's bring in John from Lake Halley. Hi, John.
Hello. Yes, I had a question for you. You mentioned that the stats for hate crimes are pretty low, but does that take into account the crimes that don't get acknowledged hate crimes by the police?
I think you're breaking up there, John. Can you say that one more time?
does the stats take into account the crimes that are being committed that are not acknowledged as hate crimes because the police refuse to accept?
Okay. Attorney General, can you address that?
Yeah, John. What I can say is that the numbers that we have are based on actual reported incidents. So anytime somebody's reporting it, that should be reflected in the data. What is not reflected is crimes that are not reported or crimes where, ultimately that there's no official record of it. And so my view is that the numbers that we see understate the overall number of hate crimes that are happening both in Wisconsin and in the country. I do encourage anybody who's listening who has evidence of a hate crime to report it to law enforcement, because these are crimes that are taken very seriously and should be fully investigated and, if appropriate, prosecuted.
The 2012 killing of six people at the Sikh temple in Oak Creek is a tragedy in Wisconsin. Did that change policy in any way, or the way law enforcement handles hate crimes?
You know, first, what happened in Oak Creek, as you said, was an absolute tragedy, and it unfortunately was not the last mass shooting that that we've had in Wisconsin. I think that led to a lot of people recognizing how dangerous hate is and how it can foster criminal activity. And to recognize that this is a problem that impacts Wisconsin as it does other parts of the country. One of the things that we do at the Wisconsin Department of Justice is we staff the Wisconsin Statewide Intelligence Center. And that's a center that works with federal, local, and state law enforcement to identify threats to the safety and security of Wisconsinites. And if they receive information that there's a potential threat, they communicate with the appropriate law enforcement agencies around the state so that there's an appropriate law enforcement response. And one of the things that they are looking for is any kind of extremist violence or potential for violence. And so if they do get that kind of information, part of their charge is to follow up on it and to make sure that it's fully investigated.
Switching gears here, Attorney General, you filed a suit challenging parts of a law that was passed 2 years ago, an extraordinary session that limits your powers. And what are your concerns here about getting approval from the legislature's budget committee before settling certain lawsuits?
I guess first, just to go back a step, in as you mentioned, in December of 2018, after Governor Evers and I were elected, but before we took office, the state legislature passed legislation restricting the authority of our offices. And that has created a variety of practical problems for nearly 2 years now. Part of what they did was they limited the ability of the Wisconsin Department of Justice to resolve cases that are brought, changing the way that we resolve cases from what had been in place for decades. There was a state Supreme Court case decided earlier this year relating to those provisions. And what the state Supreme Court said was it wouldn't find those provisions unconstitutional in every application, but that they were leaving open the possibility that some of the applications of those statutes were unconstitutional. And that's what we're challenging in this case, is two of the applications of one of those laws. In particular, we're challenging laws that interfere with our ability to settle cases where statutes provide the Department of Justice the ability to bring in enforcement action, like environmental enforcement cases or consumer protection cases where a consumer in Wisconsin was cheated by a large company, and also cases where a state agency is litigating, for example, where a contract was breached.
Why can't DOJ and lawmakers come to an agreement, come to a consensus on a way to discuss confidential litigation?
We've been trying to do that for nearly 2 years now, unfortunately without success. The issue is that in resolving a settlement, there need to be confidential discussions. One obvious example is if you want to ask for a range of settlement authority, you can't make that public because the party that you're negotiating with, if they know what your range is going to get it's going to end up being a bad deal for the state in that case. But so far, the Joint Finance Committee has refused to have these discussions in any sort of confidential setting. And because of that, we've been inhibited in our ability to move forward with the Joint Finance Committee and trying to figure out a framework for resolving some of these cases. But when it comes to environmental enforcement or consumer protection enforcement, you know, the other thing is we just need to be able to resolve these cases. Our attorneys who are litigating these on behalf of Wisconsinites need to be able to have the authority to get those cases resolved. And having a legislative committee weigh in on each of these resolutions slows the process down and ultimately makes it more difficult for us to protect our environment and to protect consumers.
Last question, election recount. Are there any open investigations underway at the DOJ of alleged instances of election fraud or election irregularities of the presidential election?
I won't comment on any specifics. You know, there was a charge, I think, just reported yesterday of a voter fraud case in the Cedarburg area. But generally speaking, the amount of fraud in the system is extremely minimal. We had a very safe, secure election. Despite there being a pandemic, we had a record number of people come out to vote. And Wisconsinites can have a lot of confidence that the results that we have are reliable and that this was an election that was conducted very professionally.
Will we be able to certify results by December 1?
That's my expectation. That's when the recount is required to be completed, and that's the certification deadline. So unless there is some sort of court order that were to bar the certification from moving forward, and there would be no basis for that in the law, we should be able to certify it by December 1st.
Attorney General, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Josh Call, Attorney General of Wisconsin. Just ahead, we're joined by the author of 40 Thieves on Saipan. We're exploring the story of a platoon in the Pacific Theater in World War II. Will you interview a veteran at Thanksgiving over Zoom? What is their story about World War II? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.